This podcast is brought to you by Shamrock Meats. Paulie gets $3,000. I get the robe.
So it's taken. It really don't matter if I lose this fight. So all I want to do is go the distance.
No machine.
I get the end of hell.
Get up, you son of a bitch. Make it look.
That you had the talent to become a good fighter, and instead of that, you became a leg breaker.
There's still a lot of people out there that think he won.
Why don't you stand up and fight this guy hard like you've done before? That was beautiful.
Man, I won, but I didn't beat him.
He's just another fighter.
No, he ain't just another fighter. This guy is a wrecking machine, and he's hungry.
I'm afraid, all right? For the first time in my life, I'm afraid.
So what we'll be calling on is good old-fashioned blunt force trauma. Let's start building some hurting bombs.
All those beatings you took in the ring, I took them with you. All those fighters you beat them with heart, not muscle.
And I'll challenge you to a fight, anytime, any place, anywhere.
Knock them down. Won't you try knocking me down?
This guy doesn't want to win. He wants to bury you. He wants to humiliate you. He wants to prove to the whole world that it was nothing but some kind of a freak the first time.
What? You haven't peaked yet?
I don't know. There's still some stuff in the basement. Everything I got is moved on, and I'm here. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
There is no tomorrow!
I must break it.
Whatever he is, he destroys.
The melodic notes of Jane by Jefferson Starship means only one thing. It is the return of Nothing Worthwhile. Evan Moody, Andrew Gruthius, how the hell are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm great. Look where we are.
Look where we are.
And look what we're talking about.
Absolutely. So let's skip all the plaudits. Let's skip all the details. It's been a while since we've been in the same room broadcasting. So today we are going to break down the Rocky franchise.
That was very emotional.
Though. Yeah, that was. I got chills. Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and Balboa. Though the topic of the Creed movies may come up, we'll leave them alone for another time. And so we're going to break down the Rocky franchise. Gru, when did Sylvester Stallone first come on your radar as an actor?
I think I think it was First Blood, because I remember watching First Blood on cable when it like premiered on cable, and the only reason I watched it was because I wasn't allowed to, and I was just like, this guy's a superstar. And then my dad took me to see Rocky III. Rocky III was the first Rocky movie I saw.
Interesting.
And at that point, after seeing First Blood and then Rocky III so close together, because I think they were out around the same time, then I was like, all right, Sylvester Stallone's the greatest movie star in the world.
Why am I not surprised you feel that way? Or did feel that way?
I still do.
Interesting. Actually, you answered my next question, which was, when was your first thoughts or memories of one of the Rocky movies or the Rocky franchise?
Yeah, so, Rocky III.
So it's interesting because mine was it dates us because mine was Rocky II. So mm-hmm. both of us really...
Well, you're a couple years older than me. Right. So that makes sense.
Okay. Mine was Rocky II. Let's talk about Rocky.
What was your reaction to Rocky II, though?
I remember... I was really young, going in with my brother and I think my family. We went to see Rocky II, and I remember the entire crowd cheering at the final scene. And when I think about it today, you don't get that kind of reaction in movies today.
Exactly, and that's exactly what I was going to say about Rocky III, because up until throughout the movie, if Rocky III is the first movie I'm seeing. Like, the only thing I know about Apollo Creed is that for 2 minutes in the beginning, he's the enemy. And then all of a sudden, he comes about halfway through, and he's the good guy. So that's cool to me. But I didn't know any of these people. But then, for that last 15 minutes or so where he's fighting Clubber Lang, and the entire theater is standing up and cheering like this is an actual prize fight, I'm like, this is just the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And that opened up. That opened up everything. So it sounds like the same experience, just different movie.
Yeah. You don't really see that kind of reaction, though,
Never.
In today's movies.
Never. Not even, and I know we're not really talking about Creed, but you didn't see it in Creed either.
Well, save that thought for maybe another time. So, Rocky, we know Rocky's a 1976 American sports drama film directed by John G. Avildsen, written and starring Sylvester Stallone. Of course, it tells the preeminent rags-to-riches story of Rocky Balboa, an uneducated but kind-hearted working-class Italian-American boxer, also starring Talia Shire as Adrian, Burt Young as Adrian's brother Paulie, Burgess Meredith as Rocky's trainer Mickey Goldmill, and Carl Weathers as the reigning heavyweight champion of the world Apollo Creed. Rocky was made for a budget just over $1 million, a sleeper hit, earned $225 million in global box office, becoming the highest grossing film of 1976. 2006, it was selected for preservation in the United States National Film Registry by the Library of Congress, considered to be one of the greatest sports films ever made. And AFI, the American Film Institute, in 2008 ranked it as the second best boxing genre movie of all time, behind Raging Bull. And I wanted to get your thoughts about that. Rocky behind Raging Bull as the number two boxing genre movie of all time.
My thoughts are Rocky is not a boxing movie.
Interesting.
Rocky is a character study, always has been. A couple times they've strayed, but we'll get into that later on. I don't consider them to be similar in any fashion. Remember, the original Rocky has two boxing scenes, a couple minutes in the beginning and about 7 or 8 minutes at the end. The rest is all character work. It's not a boxing movie. Raging Bull has boxing scene after boxing scene, and the character development is in the ring in Raging Bull. So I don't compare them.
What about the juxtaposition of De Niro and Stallone, Raging Bull, Rocky, and where they sit is sort of in the universe of actingdom. Stallone versus De Niro as actors? Because I had some thoughts. You know, when I was reading that, I wanted to ask you sort of that juxtaposition of Stallone and De Niro.
Well, Stallone, listen, Robert De Niro is, was, and always will be one of the greatest actors ever. And I would say Sylvester Stallone is one of the greatest movie stars ever, who is also an excellent actor. But no one will ever accuse Stallone of being a master thespian. But here's the thing.
Is he underappreciated as an actor?
Yes, yes. But that's not because of Rocky. That's because of a lot of the cheese that he did, which we love, but... You know, but that,
well,
but that's getting into a Stallone.
Yourself.
Okay, all right, okay, but we'll get to that. This is not a Stallone podcast; this is a Rocky podcast.
Okay.
But to answer your question, Stallone created a character from a very deep place in his life. De Niro took an existing character and put his own spin on it. Both of these things are ridiculously difficult tasks to do in their own way. Very hard to compare them. And, just very hard to compare them. I think they both live in their own place in movie history. Because look at it. Look at the Academy Awards. De Niro won for Best Actor. Raging Bull did not win for Best Picture.
Rocky won Best Picture.
But not Best Actor, but he was nominated.
Yes.
Okay? And Stallone has also been nominated twice for playing that character. Okay? So they're two separate trajectories that the comparison, I don't like it when people compare them because there's no comparison.
De Niro and Stallone?
In this genre, there's no comparison.
Yeah. When I read it, I kind of felt like it fit in the sense that I think Stallone to me will always be viewed as lesser than De Niro or a working man's De Niro. I agree. Stallone, I don't think, gets enough credit for his pure acting ability. And maybe De Niro gets too much credit, but it was, when I read that, it was kind of ironic, the Raging Bull Rocky debate.
And they even made a movie based on that premise itself, which was a crappy movie.
What was that again?
Grudge Match.
Crappy. It wasn't full crap, but it was okay.
It was a squandered opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Rocky, listen, we could talk about the plot. We all know the plot. Is Rocky the ultimate underdog movie of all time?
Yeah. I mean, it's rags to riches. It's about a loser who had a moment. And then if the movie ended after the first one, he would go back to being a loser. And that's kind of what happened in Rocky II. So yes, the answer is yes. It's not the happy ending that it seems to be. Because if that movie ended, he had his moment. Because Rocky was not a great fighter.
He was a tomato can.
He was a tomato can.
Well, he was.
He was a bum. Over the hill. He was over 30, which for a boxer is kind of old. But the movie was about how the entire movie is in that scene where he's talking to Adrian the night before the fight, when he says, you're looking at me like we're going to get there. So
to me, the winning scene from Rocky is the scene that I'll always go down with. And, the one scene is when Mickey goes to Rocky's apartment to ask him for the opportunity to train him for the heavyweight championship fight of the world. Mm-hmm. And remember, what does Rocky say? Rocky said, "You had your prime as a fighter.
I never did.
And of course, he berates Mickey, and Mickey walks out dejected. And then, of course, they do the long shot from outside Rocky's apartment. And Rocky realizes this guy is his only shot to even be competitive with the heavyweight champ. And he runs outside and he grabs Mickey and they embrace in front of his apartment. And then they start training together.
You want to know something interesting?
And that shows a lot of range. I mean, I really bought Stallone's angst in that scene.
But I see that scene in a completely different way. I don't see it as this guy's my only shot. I see it as this guy is the only father figure I ever had, and he hasn't given me what I needed, and I'm so desperate for it, and I'm finally letting him know how much he's hurt me by shunning me all these years, and then He says what he has to say. Mickey leaves, and then he's like, all right, now we're even. Let's, you know, that's the way I see it. Yeah. I see it as somebody who's, he's not jealous of Mickey's prime. Mickey had a prime. Mickey was a bum too. You know, I just see that Rocky was always longing for this mentor, and he was so hurt by it, and this was his chance to let him know that. Here he's coming to him. He's like, all right, listen, we're going to have this out. All right, you're going to hear what I have to say. Then Mickey leaves, and he's like, all right, now I can finally have my father figure that I never had.
I read into it a little bit different. Maybe there's even a symbiotic relationship. Mickey needs Rocky to he's not going to be able to bunch of local fighters ever really fight for the heavyweight championship of the world. And I think Rocky lets out that anger, but he realizes this is my one shot, not even to win, but to be competitive in a fight that all the odds are stacked against me. You know, then he, you know, runs out and embraces him, and they sort of make peace, and it recalls.
I just want to ask you one question.
Go ahead.
It recalls an earlier scene where that we heard in that retrospective. You had the talent to become a good fighter, and instead of that, you became a leg breaker. So, does this scene play upon Mickey's disappointment in Rocky? And Mickey seeing this chance to make Rocky into what he always believed he could be? Is it just Mickey trying to leech on to somebody who's got a shot?
Yeah,
does it have to do with Mickey has always seen something in Rocky, but he's been so disappointed with him, and he finally has a chance to get him to where he believes that he can be? Or is it both?
Well, that's a good point. I don't know if Mickey,
that's how good the movie is.
Yeah, like, I don't know if Mickey if his thoughts are so pure. I agree. Maybe it was just maybe I do believe there's fondness there, the character, but he's so hard on Rocky earlier in the movie. You know, takes away his locker. You know, Rocky's moving spit buckets and dirty towels.
That's in Rocky II. He takes away his locker in Rocky I. For another fighter.
Yes.
But I've always thought that he did that to get Rocky's attention. I've just always felt that way.
My feeling was Rocky knew, for right or for wrong, and he unloads on him. But the one thing I got was, this is the one guy. This is the guy that's going to take me there or get me as close as possible. Mm-hmm. The Rocky movies are based, you know, on Chuck Wepner, who fought Muhammad Ali. Wepner was TKO'd by Ali in the 15th round. Have you ever seen the Wepner, Chuck Wepner Ali fight?
Never seen the actual fight. I've seen bits and pieces of it. I don't need to see it to understand it. I saw the Chuck Wepner movie, though.
Which one?
It was with Liev Schreiber.
Yes.
As Chuck Wepner.
It's weird. It's
strange.
It's cheesily bad that it's almost enjoyable.
It's not a movie. The story of Chuck Wepner is not... The problem with that movie is that the story of Rocky Balboa is so much more compelling than the story of Chuck Wepner.
Yeah.
Wepner, it was just all about one fight. Rocky, there were layers to that character way before he got into the ring.
Are you a boxing fan yourself?
I used to be when there were people who were, you know, like, not so much anymore. The Rocky style of boxing, where it's just two guys in the ring duking it out, where you don't even think about the money or the promotion or all that stuff, that's the stuff that gets in the way now. Like, I loved watching Tyson just show up in the ring and beat the crap out of people. And I also enjoyed watching Tyson get the crap kicked out of him. When the money, now it's like, I'm not going to fight this guy unless the money's right. Like Floyd Mayweather's type of boxing, I'm not a fan of. Even though he's incredible, the money gets in the way of my enjoyment of it.
Yeah.
But I used to love getting together with people and watching the big fights. I used to really enjoy that. It was fun to watch.
I've gotten a little more into boxing as they've had some of these big heavyweights, Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury. Fury,
I only know because he showed up on the WWE,
I think MMA has taken that combat sports, you know, place quite a bit. I think boxing's made a little bit of a comeback over the last couple of years. I think as the heavyweights go,
I hope so.
Boxing tends to go. Interesting, United Artists liked Stallone's script, but they looked at other actors for the Rocky role, such as Robert Redford, Ryan O'Neal, Burt Reynolds, or James Caan. Could you imagine Rocky as portrayed by Burt Reynolds? I thought about that. That hit me, and I was like, I got to ask Gru, Burt Reynolds as Rocky. I mean, what would that have looked like?
I've heard, I know about all that because I've heard about, because, you know, I go back with the Rocky franchise, but it's just a different thing. It might be just as good. It might be better. It might be worse. There's just no way to tell. It would be a different story. But this kind of, I put this kind of movie, this kind of story in the category of like Superman, because they wanted like those same guys to play Superman when they were casting for that. Like Ryan O'Neal and Robert Redford, and they wanted them to play Superman, and it wouldn't have worked. Because you're watching Burt Reynolds fight Apollo Creed. You're watching Burt Reynolds flying through the air. When you have somebody who nobody knows but who can live that character, that's what makes it work. And they don't do that today.
Stallone had done some film work prior to
Rocky, but nobody knew who he was.
Something small.
Yeah, no, nobody. He was
Lords of Flatbush.
Lords of Flatbush. He did with like Henry Winkler, but he wasn't the star of that. He did a really good porno movie called The Italian Stallion. From what I understand, never saw it.
Bullshit. I need a rag. We just had a money shot.
He did a couple other ones, but you know, he was basically a character actor before Rocky.
He even had, did he have that cameo in the Woody Allen Bananas?
Yes, he didn't even have any dialogue.
Right, he was the thug.
See, we look at that today and we're like, that's Stallone.
Right.
But back then, it was just a guy on the train.
With other casting, they actually had Ken Norton, the actual boxer Ken Norton.
For Apollo Creed, right?
For Apollo Creed. Yes. It was eventually given to Carl Weathers. And then I wanted to ask you, Susan Sarandon auditioned for the role as Adrian, but a money dispute forced producers to look elsewhere. What would you think? How would Susan Sarandon has looked as Adrian?
Too sexy. Not that she couldn't have pulled it off, because she was and is a great actress. I'm sure she would have found a way, but she's too beautiful.
Loved her in Ray Donovan.
Yeah.
Susan Sarandon.
I love her in Bull Durham.
But don't you feel Talia Shire kind of locked in that young Italian ingenue role with Rocky and the Godfather movies?
Yes.
I mean, if there was a go-to actress that needed to play a 30-ish Italian-American woman, it seemed like it always went to Talia Shire.
But even after The Godfather, she was, remember, this came after Godfather 2, and she's got about 5 minutes of screen time in Godfather 2. It seems like more, but the movie's not about her. But so basically she was an unknown when they cast her in Rocky, and that's what it needed. It needed two people who were, because remember, this movie was like mirroring Stallone's life. And they kind of needed somebody to match that. They did not, I get it, they did not want a household name to match up with this other.
Well, they did, but I didn't.
I don't think she was a household name.
No, but I guess I was referring to Stallone. I mean, he played hardball. He said,
"Right,
you're not getting this script unless
which was a ballsy move, because he was broke.
So when we talk about filming, I wanted to, you know, there's always the one scene where they walk into the arena before the fight. Rocky walks in and they show the poster of Rocky fighting Apollo, and Rocky's wearing red shorts with a white stripe while he's actually wearing white shorts with a red stripe. And when Rocky realizes that they did this wrong, he said, "It doesn't really matter, does it?" And, you know, according to John Avildsen on the DVD commentary, this was an actual mistake, and they rectify it by pulling off some really, really good dialogue. And I just thought that's such a great way to rectify, you know, an error and still kind of put forth sort of this loser, nothing goes right for Rocky mentality that permeates throughout the film.
Well, there's the interesting part about that is that that's not the only scene that a mistake made something better in this movie. I don't want to interrupt your research,
no.
But the ice skating scene,
go ahead,
which is a legendary scene, that was originally supposed to be they were supposed to be doing that with a whole bunch of people at the ice skating rink, but they didn't have the money to pay the extras. So they're like, all right, well, I guess we'll just do it this way. We'll change it. It'll be on Thanksgiving. The thing will be closed. Rocky will, you know, charm Adrian and like by paying money to get him on there. And then they have this thing there. It's just them on the ice. And that's what's so legendary about that scene. Think about that scene with a whole bunch of people around and it doesn't work nearly as well.
That's true.
So that's another mistake. And then you get this thing with the promoter and the promoter's right. It doesn't matter. Like, and it just works. Everything just was so serendipitous about this thing. Like, and that's another example of that. And you said Ken Norton. Like, Ken Norton obviously was a fighter, so yes, that would have worked. But somebody, I guess, why didn't Ken Norton do it? I think it was Ken Norton who didn't want to do it. Do you know? Because I don't. But what's important is that Carl Weathers took this in a direction
right.
that...
Ken Norton was initially sought for the role of Apollo Creed, but he pulled out, and the role was ultimately given to Carl Weathers.
Do they say why he pulled out?
No, but it said Norton had 3 fights with Muhammad Ali, upon whom Creed was loosely based on. So maybe it was a scheduling conflict, money, but Norton pulled out, and they went with Carl Weathers.
More serendipity, because Carl Weathers created... listen, let's face it. Carl Weathers created a character on which his own franchise was based, in a way. So that's serendipitous, too. And that's how movies used to be made. Now, everything's got to be in line and perfect before they even start filming. Like... with movies that are made today. Like you
too pretty, too clean.
Too perfect. Too perfect.
Okay.
Too polished. So these are what you're giving me are examples of unpolished things that the director was smart enough to leave to the actors to make it work. That's how good these people are.
Well, the Rocky movie, generally speaking, received positive reviews and critical praise upon the time of its release. Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times gave it 4 out of 4 stars, saying Stallone reminded him of a young Marlon Brando. Mm-hmm. Interesting. However,
that's how they marketed it, because, you know, I've seen some of the early trailers, and they market him as the next Marlon Brando.
How so?
They just say the next Marlon Brando.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. They say compared to a young Marlon Brando, his name is Sylvester Stallone, and he is Rocky. Literally, that's what the trailer
is. I feel like that wouldn't happen today.
Never.
Too much pressure, too much expectation put on a young actor.
Never.
A film, however, did not escape criticism. Vincent Canby of the New York Times called it pure 30s make-believe and dismissed both Stallone's acting and Avildsen directing, calling it the latter none too decisive. Rocky received 10 Oscar nominations in 9 categories at the 49th Academy Awards, winning 3. Rocky won Best Picture. Rocky won Best Director. John G. Avildsen was nominated for Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Original Screenplay, Best Supporting
Actress
Actor.
Actress for Tyler Shire?
Yes, sir.
Not supporting?
No. Best Actress. All right, nominated. Good. Best Supporting Actor, Burt Young, and it also won for Best Film Editing.
Mm-hmm.
Was also nominated for Best Music Original Score for Gonna Fly Now and Best Sound. AFI acknowledging it as the second best film in the sports genre after Raging Bull. So, Rocky, final thoughts. So how do you feel about it?
It launched... I mean, what can you say? I don't even look at it as the ultimate underdog story. I look at it as just an incredible movie it's a perfect movie, in my opinion.
Really?
It's perfect. It's just every note for note, beat for beat, every look, every glance. In fact, in Roger Ebert's review, because I used to buy that book that he put out every year
yes.
with all his reviews, and I've read the Rocky review many times, and you know what his favorite scene in that movie is? His favorite scene is after Paulie has his blow up in the house and comes after him with a baseball bat. like basically just manifesting his own misery. When Rocky goes and knocks on the door and Adrian's just sitting there, not crying, just sitting there in the corner, realizing that Paulie's right. She is a loser, but she doesn't want to be anymore. So Rocky goes, you want a roommate? She goes to Rocky, do you want a roommate? And Rocky's like, absolutely. And that's it. That's his favorite scene. And the reason he says is because the way the movie doesn't just, like, think about movies today. They basically focus on the main characters. But think about the supporting characters. Every single one of them, even the promoter in the movie, is given his own, like, moments.
Even the loan shark has...
Yes, Gazzo. You remember these people. Yes. You remember Gazzo.
Spider.
You remember Spider Rico. You remember Johnny, the little trainer, or Jimmy, the trainer played by Jimmy Gambina. The cut man, Al. You know, all these characters are given their own way of doing things. And Paulie, his story is just as compelling as Rocky's.
Yes.
He's just this unhappy, jealous pug who is eking his way through life. And you see how Rocky brings all of these people together, even if only for a moment. That's the best. That's what makes Rocky so legendary. It's the way they're able to take all these pieces and bring them together into one final moment at the end where Rocky does what he wanted to do, going the distance.
So like a fine wine, Rocky has aged well.
The story has aged well, obviously, but like if you made Rocky today, it would lose everything I just said.
I'll tell you, it certainly would, because I believe there's a lot more cynicism in the world, and I just don't know if that underdog rags to riches story. I think you would have also issues of race.
Yeah,
it's just...
and everybody and the character of Paulie would be a much better looking guy, and Adrian would be like Amy Adams.
Yeah,
and like you're not going to look for you believe these people in these roles because these roles are so important, but you know these people were in their 20s at the time, now, but they seemed older because life made them seem older because they had been so damaged. Now it's like I'm gonna look at Amy Adams and like think that she's this beaten up.
So Stallone was playing older in the first Rocky.
I think he was playing his own age.
Rocky's in his 30s.
Yeah, I think he was. I think he was around the same age.
Well, we know the ending. Rocky loses.
Yeah, but nobody remembers that.
He loses a split decision. Comes into the ring. Cries out for Adrian, and that takes us to 3 years later.
But wait, can I ask you one question? What do you feel about how they announced the winner of that match? You can barely hear it. An artistic choice. Like, the movie ends with Rocky and Adrian telling each other that they love each other for the first time. And in the background, you can slightly hear the winner, Apollo Creed. So what is the director telling us?
So I think that may go to your notion that it's minimally a boxing movie and it's more of a character study.
It's a love story.
So the real victory is them professing their love for each other and that Rocky actually came into this fight and was successful, that he went 15 rounds toe-to-toe with the champ, and really winning or losing was, in his world, insignificant. He fought.
He did what he set out to do, and look how far she was able to come. She was a basket case, and all of a sudden, this guy brings out her love and her emotion and everything that she's been, you know, bottling up for all these years.
He took her off the autism spectrum.
That's what they would call it today.
I've diagnosed.
Yeah, you know what? If Rocky were made today, they would make her, like, autistic.
It would be Autisti, not Rocky. Autisti 1, Autisti 2.
Hashtag me too.
That's right. So 3 years later, this is when I remember the Rocky
franchise. Well, wait, let's talk briefly about...
Oh, we're on a limited time frame. Let's go. Hit me. Go.
Well, just because part of the whole thing about this is that the way the Rocky movies mirror Stallone's life, this was that movie. Stallone was, for all intents and purposes, a bum. He had no money. He wanted to be an actor, wanted to be a writer, and he was failing. And he was almost past his prime at 30 to be just trying to, you know, he was just about to give up. And then someone gives him a shot. Robert Chartoff and Erwin Winkler, they give him a shot, and he does what he set out to do. And now that we go 3 years later, Rocky II, how do you follow that? So so I just wanted to add that as a coda for our discussion of the original.
Well, it's 3 years later. Mm-hmm. Rocky II picks up directly after the championship fight.
Right.
And I think for me, the first thing I wanted to ask was, you have that great early scene where a broken and beaten Rocky trudges into Apollo Creed's hospital room, yeah, who's equally broken and beaten,
yeah,
and asks him, "Did you give it your all with me?" And Creed tells him he did. What'd you? I mean, I thought that was such a great. To me, that's the scene. That early scene with the two,
yeah,
bloody beaten guys, and Rocky just wanted to know, did you give it your all?
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. Rocky needed validation. He needed to know that he accomplished what he set out to do legitimately. And that's the scene that today, if the movie was running long, that they would cut.
That's, really?
Yeah, they would. That's just the way movies are made today. But the crux of that scene is what I just said. It's these two guys knowing that they just did something legendary. And Creed obviously not happy with it. Rocky thrilled with it, and he's ready to retire. He's like, you know, as when he gets out of hospital, he's done.
Yeah, I think Hulu had posted all of the Rocky movies, and I went back and watched Rocky II, and mm-hmm, really, really, really enjoyed it. As you say, Rocky declines a rematch. He retires from boxing. He has a partially detached retina, which affects his vision. And, of course, Apollo moves on. And
I never knew that it was an actual detached retina. Did they ever really say that in the
yes,
movie?
Yes, because, well, I don't know if they actually quote the detached retina, but, of course, there's another winning scene for me in Rocky II in which Rocky decides, and we'll talk about his reasons why, but he's mm-hmm. going to go back and fight. And Mickey, again, in the apartment, confronts him now lovingly, and slaps him in the face, gives him a left-handed slap that Rocky doesn't see. And Mickey's point is, I'm a 76-year-old old man. You couldn't even defend yourself with a slap. How are you gonna defend yourself against the heavyweight champion of the world?
Interesting you say that, because, and I'm sorry to do this, but it's going to bring me back to the first one for a second. Because another one of my favorite little moments in Rocky is when Rocky finally gets knocked down in the 14th round. And Mickey is there telling him to stay down because he doesn't want him to get hurt.
Right.
That is so perfect. Like, it just, like, it gives me chills thinking about it, because that's the character of Mickey. Mickey always loved Rocky. So his job was to protect him. And that's him protecting him. He knows he could have gotten up and might have won the fight. You know, it was probably dead even on the scorecards. But Mickey's like, stay down. We're done. We did it. You know, and this goes to show you, just like you said, he's like, yeah, you could probably go in there and whip his ass, but you're going to get hurt and it's not worth
it. Well, no, this confrontation is really very loving. He's saying, an old man just slapped you upside your face and you couldn't protect yourself. How are you going to do it in the second fight?
Right. Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that. But that just shows you the evolution of Mickey.
Well,
how important that is. Well, to movies like this.
Well, certainly by Rocky III, the relationship is really, really evolved, and it's something quite special.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I think really the movie then focuses a little bit on Apollo. There's just a hole. He's mm-hmm. having trouble day-to-day life, trouble accepting that this tomato can took him 15 rounds and really is sort of the fans' favorite now, and he begins sort of this hate campaign, Italian chicken propaganda, and sort of goads Rocky. Rocky juxtaposition. He's doing commercials. He's terrible at it, and he ends up again going back to loan sharking and working at the meat factory. And mm-hmm. circumstances happen, and it lines itself for a second fight.
But here's the thing. There are two great things about what you just said. We don't hate Apollo, do we?
Never.
Because we feel... We might not like him in the first one. Because he does seem like a taunting, you know, arrogant, like, I'm going to kick this... I'm going to bring this guy in and just waste him in three rounds. Like, he's more of a villain in the first Rocky, which is perfect. Okay? As the fight goes on, we develop respect for
him. Well, they begrudgingly have... He develops a begrudging respect for Rocky. At the end, they embrace...
And because of that, we develop a respect for Apollo. Now, in the second one, we feel Apollo's pain in a way, because we know that Apollo gave his all, but the fans are saying he threw it. So we want this fight to happen for Apollo just as much as we want it to happen for Rocky. But Rocky here, I don't think he goes back because of Apollo's goading. He goes back because that's all he knows how to do. He tries the commercials. He fails miserably at that. He goes to the meatpacking plant. He gets fired.
That's right.
He can't get the kind of job he wants. He's going to the employment office. They have a baby coming. All these things happen. And that's what gets him back interested in fighting. It's not like he's bothered by Apollo's goading, but that's not what does it. What does it is that he's a fighter. That's what he is, and that's the core. But, well, I'm sure you'll get to it. So let's continue. But that's my opinion on that. You know, as we just spoke.
Well, the big swerve, so to speak, or the plot twist in Rocky II.
I love that word, swerve.
Is
we should hit a bell every time. Every time we use the word swerve.
Well, we know that Adrian does not give her full blessing to Rocky. Training for the second Apollo fight, she has a baby on the way. And, of course, Adrian's brother, Paulie, confronts his sister, but not fully supporting her husband. She faints during the confrontation, rushed to the hospital, where she goes into labor. Baby is born premature. The baby is healthy, but Adrian falls into a coma. Mm-hmm. Rocky blames himself, and then we have some of those great filler scenes with Rocky and Mickey sitting in the hospital room just... at Adrian's bedside, Rocky reading to Adrian. And then, of course, Adrian miraculously wakes up from her coma. And Rocky and Mickey are in the room. And we see Rocky Jr. for the first time. And they embrace as a family. And she says to him, I got one thing I need to tell you. And he says, what? And she motions with her finger to come in as she's going to whisper in his ear. And he leans down and she says, of course, what does she say, Andrew? She says, when? And of course, Mickey sprawls up in that great
back. What are we waiting for?
And I mean,
take this.
The movie just shoots off from there. We have special effects.
We're moving into
you're like a young Fred Norris.
We're moving into the 90s.
Our production values just jumped 100%. But
you're forgetting. I think you're forgetting one little part, though.
Of course, I'm forgetting.
Okay,
something.
Well, go ahead. Continue. Well, remember, Rocky is training for the fight against Adrian's wishes,
but he stops. He doesn't train.
No,
he stays in the hospital.
No. But before that,
yes.
While he's training, he's not.
But he's not fully committed to it.
Right. Right.
He needs his wife's blessing.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
So that's let me ask you this.
And that's sort of been a theme in other movies. The conflict with his wife and
because
he can't
Stallone,
get into
it. Because Stallone has always said that even though I'm not sure I buy it, but he's always said that these stories are from Adrian's perspective. He has always said that. And I never quite understood it. But in moments like this, I see it. But let me ask you a question. Because one thing that's, and I love Rocky too, but one thing that's always bothered me is, what was it that made her do this about face? Was it the birth of their child? Was she finally just saying, I love this man, and if he wants to do it, he should be able to, like, what was it? What do you think?
If I'm a guessing man, I would say probably the latter. Mm-hmm. You know, he showed his complete loyalty to his wife. He suspended his life. He sat in the hospital room and waited and waited and waited and, you know, saw her through her illness. And when it was all said and done, you know, she gave him his full blessing. And I think the movie really kicks off. You know, you talked about Apollo, you know, almost being a good guy. But I remember watching the movie, you know, he really did some nasty underhanded tactics to sort of goad Rocky. And if you remember, is it Tony Burton?
Yes.
He played Apollo's trainer who later on takes on Rocky.
Trainer.
But he says to him, there's a scene, I think, in his penthouse where they're watching video.
It's in their office.
And he's clearly, I don't know what the word is, but he's not taking this fight probably as seriously. He thinks he's going to go in and whoop Rocky in under two rounds. That's right. His prediction. And Duke is saying to him, don't sell this guy short. Do not sell this guy short.
And I'm sorry to say this, I think you're mixing up two things. And to be fair, I've seen these movies probably more than you. But in the first movie, Tony Burton,
yes, he's hitting the meat.
Tony's watching it, and he's like, hey, you might want to take a look at this guy. He's like, southpaw, nothing. I'll drop him in three. But in the second one, Duke doesn't want him to take the fight at all. Remember, he says, you know what bothers me? Like Apollo says, what's bothering you, Duke? And he's like, because I saw a guy get beat like he's never been beaten before, and the guy just kept coming after you, and we don't need that kind of thing in our lives.
Okay.
Like, he's like, we don't need that. We don't need this. You're the champ. And then Apollo says, thank you for your, you know, I'll take that under advisement. All right, new campaign. You know, but really all Apollo's doing is he's trying to get redemption for himself. And I understand that. So I'm not bothered by the goading. I'm not bothered by that because that's what anybody would do. That's promoting a fight.
I think,
you know, it doesn't bother me.
I think the end of the first movie and then at the end of the second movie where he embraces Rocky in the ring, you know, I think that sort of got my full begrudging respect as a character.
Yeah.
But we know that the big sort of storyline going into the fight is Rocky, who fights, is going to fight right-handed against his natural southpaw to protect his eye. He's knocked down twice by Creed and outclassed for much of the fight. Creed is well ahead on points. And, of course, as we get to the final round, Creed does not want the fight to go to decision, ignores his trainer's pleas to stay back, and attempts to go right after Rocky by knockout.
Which I respect the hell out of.
And, of course, that final round, they beat the crap out of each other. There's almost a double knockout. And, of course, Rocky staggers up before the 10 count. Creed, at 8 or 9, slumps back down. Your new heavyweight champion of the world, Rocky Balboa. Talk to me about that ending, though.
There's one small problem with it. I just want to bask in the crowd. There's one small problem with it, and that is that the rules of boxing, Rocky landed the punch and went down with Creed. It wasn't a double punch. Rocky landed the punch and Rocky went down. Rocky's would have been ruled a slip. So the count would have been just on Creed.
Interesting.
So a little nitpick, but it's a movie. It's dramatic. So I don't mind it.
Is okay? It too Hollywood of an ending?
No. No, I mean, because here's why.
I've never seen a fight nowhere near end like that. I mean, it just seemed
too Hollywood. In what way?
It's just
like the dramatics of it, or Rocky winning.
Maybe a little bit of both. Both going down at the same time. The count.
Well, yeah, that's,
you know, the one guy staggered. I don't know if that's.
They should have known that was not the way it would have been. They should have known that. That doesn't – Rocky's would have been considered a slip. So, but maybe a little overdramatic. And Rocky II is considered like the soap opera episode of the series, but that's okay. But remember, this was Stallone's announcement that he's now the champion of the world / movie star. Because even at the end of Rocky – the movie Rocky, he was sort of, you know, it was like you would think he'd be going back to being a bum, which he kind of did. And in Stallone's life, it's like mirrors his, because how do you follow Rocky? Right out of the gate, you hit a grand slam. Then the next time, if you come up and you only get a single or a ground out, everyone's like, oh, I guess it was just a fluke. So after, I know this is not a Stallone podcast, but after Rocky, he does like Paradise Alley, which we like, but it's a failure. He does Fist, which is respected, but not a hit. So how do you follow up? And that's what Rocky II is about. How do you repeat, or how do you follow up what you just did? By going back to working in a meat locker? So it's not over dramatic. It's, I'm here, I'm on top of the world.
I don't think you'd seen anything like that today. I'm going to stick with it.
Which part of it?
You wouldn't
see an ending much, like the first
too,
one.
Too much. No.
The fighter would win.
he won by decision, split decision. Here,
no, he lost.
Understood. The first but, one. Creed won by split decision. I mean, that's in the realm of possibility. Having two guys fall to the canvas at the same right. time and stagger up one at 10,
so you're
one
saying,
at 9.
So you're saying today, if Rocky were made, Rocky would have knocked him out.
I just don't think you'd see that ending.
I agree.
Rocky does win by knockout, makes him the new heavyweight champion of the world. Of course, Rocky then gives his impassioned speech to the crowd, holds the belt over his head. Adrian is watching from home with her baby and Paulie, and he says and ends the movie with, "Yo, Adrian,
I did it.
So,
interesting, but interesting about that, today, would Adrian have been at the fight?
I think there was a reason for that.
Yeah, she was sick because she had just been in a coma. She couldn't be there.
I think there was also there may be notes that I think they had,
like, behind the scenes.
Yes,
stuff?
Okay, that's the right. reason. I believe.
I'll wait to hear.
Okay. Rocky II finished top three highest grossing films in 1979. Film grossed over close to $7 million its opening weekend, $85 million plus at the U.S. box office, $200 million overall. Rocky II holds a 71% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes, over 31 reviews.
That's it.
Average rating of 6.5 out of 10. Site's consensus reads, Rocky II is a movie that dares you to root again for the ultimate underdog and succeeds due to an infectiously powerful climax. Film won Best Picture at the American Movie Awards and won People's Choice Awards for Favorite Motion Picture. Rocky II, did it succeed in taking the storyline further of the Rocky saga?
Yes, it did everything a sequel is supposed to do. It didn't repeat the first one. It continued the story. What does one do after that? He needs to recapture somehow his inner, you know, his drive. Like, it's a perfect sequel. Even though it's not a perfect movie, it's a perfect sequel, because so many sequels just find a way to recycle the same plot, and the Rocky series has been accused of that. But if you look at each of them like we're looking at them today, we're going to see how different they all are. Moody's giving me a look like, all right, I quit.
Well, I think here, this is where the franchise starts to waver a little bit. I'm a fan of three and probably the most interested to talk about three, but I think here is where things slightly, as most people feel, slightly fall off the rails. So we're going to go 3 years later to Rocky III.
Okay.
1982 American sports drama. It is the third installment in the Rocky film series. Movie stars as well with Stallone, Carl Weathers, Burgess Meredith, Talia Shire, Burt Young, and Tony Burton. Rocky III marks the film debut of Mr. T as James Clubber Lang and of professional wrestler Hulk Hogan.
I
can't get through the intro.
I just want to ask you a question. Was Rocky II before or after DC Cab?
I want to say Rocky II was way before DC
Cab.
Yeah,
I think so too. I just love
that was
DC
Mr. T. Who was the other coach?
Adam Baldwin. Ricky Linderman from My Bodyguard. It's like, how do you get back from that?
Yes, I think that was
but
pretty
yeah,
much
this,
it for Mr. T.
And I remember the credit was introducing Mr. T as Clubber Lang.
Right. professional wrestler Hulk Hogan as supporting character Thunderlips.
A heel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, initially the first thing I remember, I went to see it, I think I was sort of in Lynbrook. And, the movie, it's glossier. It's
just like Stallone in real life.
So before we even get to the movie, is this where he becomes handsome movie star? And instead of an actor, he becomes matinee idol?
Yes.
But that critical rub falls off a little bit. I thought of even Eddie Murphy. He's getting too handsome. He's too ripped. He's too chiseled.
And
plastic surgery on the face. It just.
And guess what? Think about the way the story of Rocky III goes.
Yes.
But I just want to say one thing.
Are we starting to jump the shark a little bit here?
No. And I'll tell you why.
Go ahead.
Because Rocky III is about just that. Because he loses his way. He loses his way in all the money, in all the fame. Like, look at him in the ring. Even when he's fighting Hulk Hogan, Thunderlips, one of the greatest character names in the history of movies, by the way. He's this arrogant, like, hey, Stallone. You know, like, yeah. No, in Rocky Balboa, the character, he's kind of like, yeah, we're going to do this for charity, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like,
arrogant, like, no. Mickey, I didn't take arrogant. He's become
spoiled
soft.
A little bit.
Well, he's spoiled become a little bit spoiled by his riches.
Yes. So he's losing the hunger, which is that big scene with Mickey, but we'll get to that.
Right. But
we'll get to that.
Just on a pure level as Stallone as an actor, I mean, clearly here. He's at, like, I think something like 3% body fat. He's maybe had some plastic surgery done on his face.
Maybe.
He's just he's
in his 30s.
He's a little too, is he still in his 30s in this movie?
He was born in, like, 46.
82?
So he turned 40 in 86. So he's still in his, like, mid to late 30s.
Okay.
I know that? I don't know.
You opened it up. I mean, Rocky has, as you see the opening montage, he has a string of
It's too much already.
Successful title defenses. And, of course, the camera cuts to Mickey, who looks even more disgusted with each successful title defense.
That's the crux of this whole thing.
We have the interesting exhibition against professional wrestler Thunderlips, mm-hmm. which sort of made Hulk Hogan a name throughout wrestling and beyond.
Yeah. And you just made the perfect point. Rocky has now become an attraction. He's not a fighter anymore. He's an attraction.
Okay.
And that's what Stallone has become in life. Not an actor, a movie star. And that's why this movie mirrors that. That's the way I see it.
You have to see Gru's enthusiasm.
Do you disagree? Well, let's go through the rest of the movie.
Let's keep it moving, so to speak. Everyone knows the plot. Rocky's manager, Mickey, has become worried. He is observing a powerful and young, rapidly rising contender by the name of James Clubber Lang. Of course, there's the big...
James is his first name?
Yes.
I never knew that.
Of course, there's the amazing confrontation at the statue of Rocky at the stairway of the Philadelphia Museum
Great
of Art.
Great scene.
In which Clubber Lang, downgrades Rocky, makes overtures to his wife, and sort of goads Rocky into accepting his challenge for a championship fight. We know that Mickey initially wants no part of it. He's pressed by Rocky. Mickey, of course, makes the bombshell revelation that he handpicked the prior opponents for Rocky's title defenses in order to spare him from another beating, the kind that Creed gave him years earlier. He, of course, says to Rocky, you've no longer have the eye of the tiger. You've lost your edge and you have become civilized, which, of course, for every fighter is the bane of their existence.
The worst thing happened.
Rocky, he doesn't want to retire. And now having some impetus to fight, he says.
Well, he did want to retire. But not after, because Clubber, that's why that scene is so great, because I want to come back to that. Because that's Mr. T, like, exploding onto the scene. He hasn't said a word up until that point in the movie. But at that scene, Creed is reaching back, and Rocky is remembering who
Mr. T as a young Marlon Brando. I mean, how are you exploding onto the scene?
No, but what I'm saying is that scene is Rocky's standing up there and he's like, I think it's time to retire. You know, like he's in a polished suit. He's got the statue. He's ready to move on with his life. And he's forgotten who he really is and what he really is. And now here comes Clubber Lang and Rocky's all of a sudden like, I'm hungry for this guy. Even though he knows that his training and he thinks, because Mickey has made him think that he's invincible. That's where the conflict is.
Yeah. Let's keep it moving. Of course, Mickey does agree to train Rocky for the fight.
Very reluctantly.
And Rocky trains in a very L.A. glitzy style, a big camp with a lot of photographers and female fans. And
you know who that female fan was who kissed him, right?
Who?
His wife. His first wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Sasha Stallone.
Oh, she's hot.
She was cute.
I might have rubbed one out. Of course, in Cronchest, Clubber Lang trains with ruthless determination and vigor. And of course, they meet at the Philadelphia Spectrum in a brawl backstage. Mickey is violently shoved by Clubber Lang. He suffers a heart attack, which later proves to be fatal in a very interesting scene. Rocky wants to call the match off. Mickey urges him to go ahead with the fight while he stays in the dressing room. Rocky's enraged. He's severely distracted. He all sorts of emotions. And of course, Rocky goes for the early knockout, lands some big blows, but that's it. Cannot put Lang down. And of course, the bigger, stronger, and better prepared Lang quickly recovers and takes charge, dominates Rocky, and knocks him out with a haymaker left hook in the second round, winning the heavyweight championship. Match ends with Rocky, a beaten Rocky, going into his dressing room and telling Mickey that the fight was over in two rounds. Mickey falsely believes that Rocky wins the fight, then dies. Rocky lapses into severe depression, mourning over Mickey's death. Thoughts?
I don't think by the time Rocky got to the ring, he cared about what happened in the ring. He wanted to get out of there as quickly as possible to get back to Mickey, because that's who he cared about. That's what he cared about more than anything. So he goes. He tries to knock Lang out quickly. When he realizes that happened, his guard just comes down, because he keeps asking Paulie, where's Mick? I wonder how he's doing. Like, he can't get his mind into the fight. So he lets that one go. And I think that the only plot hole there is that Mickey would have been rushed to the hospital right away.
Interesting.
Regardless of what he wanted.
Right.
Because I think I've heard the defense in some other podcasts about Rocky that Mickey refused to go to the hospital until the fight was over. I think I've heard that somewhere. And even if he refused, Adrian would have never let that happen.
That's an inference, because we never see anyone confront Mickey to go to the hospital.
Right.
But
it's an inference.
That point makes sense.
Yeah. Like, you wouldn't.
You're not going to let an old guy die.
Yeah. Like, after the fight is over, Rocky comes back and Mickey's still there, and the doctor actually says, we have to get him to a hospital. The guy had a heart attack and he's still in the locker room? No, it doesn't make sense. But it makes sense for the movie, and it's fine. The purpose of it is that it wasn't about the fight. It was about Rocky and Mickey. And this is what changes everything. And it had to happen. And if it was ever going to happen, if anything was going to bring Rocky back down to earth, it was going to be a huge loss. And Mickey obviously had to be that loss.
Interesting.
And I think it worked perfectly. And I think Stallone and Burgess Meredith played it beautifully. Like, when we first saw it, let me ask you, when you first saw it and Rocky's letting out these emotional wails, did you laugh?
No.
A lot of people did, because Stallone never had that respect as an actor. But if you look at it today, like, he's just distraught and he sells it beautifully. What?
You're such an old Hollywood shiv. Whore.
I'm looking at things the way I see them.
Interesting note. We learn that Mickey is Jewish upon his funeral. My rabbi.
Your rabbi. What was his name?
Fillmore Berger.
Who died recently.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
He was Temple Avoda in Oceanside, New York. He does the service.
The Kaddish.
If anything, people laughed at Rocky's phonetically.
We will call Yisrael. I love that. It's literally says.
What does he say?
He's like, the rabbi says, "We'll call Yisrael." So Rocky goes, "We will call Yisrael." I love that. I mean, it's at a funeral, so it's hard to laugh, but I mean, that's what it sounds like, and hearing him phonetically
that's
do
the
that,
winning scene. Let me hear that one more time.
"We will call Yisrael." Oh, thank you. Thank you all. Thank you.
That was a good one.
That's a good one.
That actually was very funny. Rocky's all over the place.
Now he's lost.
He's in a severe depression. He stops by Mickey's closed gym, and a forlorn Rocky throws a punch at a heavy bag. And, of course, who's magically there?
That's not the way to do it.
That's right. Apollo Creed, former rival, who had witnessed the fight as a guest analyst and actually had a little bit of trash talk with Clubber Lang.
Mm-hmm.
Creed offers to help train Rocky for a rematch against Lang in exchange for a future favor, which Rocky accepts. Of course, Apollo takes Rocky to the gym where he once trains. They go to L.A. They train with his former trainer, Tony Duke Evers. And, of course, again, we have the issue of Rocky being fully committed to his training. And, of course, I always think about the winning scene on the beach with Adrian. No?
Oh, I thought you were going to go with the homoerotic run.
Well, that's after that scene. That's after that scene.
Well, going back to
Rocky goes
started.
To this, very inner city gym. He's a white guy with mostly people of color, and they're just
and
lean.
You can tell he's not motivated.
They're lean, they're sweaty, they're hungry, and he's going through the motions for the first, whatever it is, week or two of training. Apollo gets on his case,
right?
Doesn't seem to motivate him, and of course, there's the big confrontation on the beach with Adrian. And
right.
Again, I'm not even looking at my notes, but again, if I remember it, Rocky admits that for the first time in boxing, he's scared.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey had set up all these prop opponents, and Adrian's response was, "Mickey loved you. He did what any confidant, any manager,
any friend
would
father.
Do. But don't kid yourself. You won those fights on your own ability.
Yeah.
And, they hug, and how did you get to be so tough?
I'm in love with
a fighter.
But also, well, that's that scene. And yes, I want to go back a little bit. So what do you, like, when Apollo shows up,
go ahead.
As a kid watching this, you're like, hell yeah.
Yes, I was.
I mean, because that's actually my favorite. If you had to ask me, like, what my favorite stereotypical character is in movies, it's the bad guy turning good, like Iceman in Top Gun.
Oh, Lord.
I just say this because I knew you would give me that look. But I love those characters, like the bad guy becoming the good guy to fight a bigger evil. I really enjoy that. And that's what this was. So Apollo Creed, and he says basically what Adrian says later on, but Rocky always needs to hear it from Adrian.
Okay.
Okay? So he says the same thing. He's like, "I know your manager dying had you all messed up inside, but guess what? You didn't have the eye of the tiger. Not like you had it when you fought me. When you fought me, I saw that hunger in your eyes. When you fought him, I saw nothing." Okay? So I tried to sound like Carl Weathers there. Nothing.
Go ahead.
All right, thanks. That fell flat. But so then, yes, you have the training, and he's not into it because he's just lost. He feels like a bum. He feels like he did in Rocky II. Like, I'm nothing. And then Adrian has that conversation with him and says, "You can do this." He's like, "You don't give yourself enough credit. You can do this. The truth is that..." Well, the truth comes from Rocky is that he's afraid. And Adrian says, "Good. You should be. You're about to fight somebody. It's okay to be afraid." And he's like, "No, it's not okay." "Yeah, it is. It's okay to be afraid." And that's what brings him back. And that has one of the best lines in all of the Rocky movies.
I love the plot twists in Rocky III.
Wait, you don't want to know my favorite line?
No, but go ahead.
How'd you get so tough?
Yeah.
I live with a fighter.
Yes.
I love that line for some reason.
I mean, I love the plot twist in Rocky III. Mm-hmm.
And I love that Duke's with them.
Right.
I think all thrusters. So now Rocky is finding a new way to tap into his who he is, a fighter, because he's a different Rocky than he ever has been.
Is that through homoeroticism?
Obviously. By the montage? Hell yeah.
Clearly, he shaved down with baby oil on his legs on the beach.
Hot. Get your hand off my leg. What are you doing?
Well, we know that the...
Wait, pause. We're just experimenting with these new effects.
That has
Sorry,
a very
everybody.
70s yeah. Halloween sort of music vibe. Rematch takes place at Madison Square Garden. Of course, Apollo lends Rocky the American flag trunks that he once wore during their first match. Of course, Rocky sprints out from the corner, batters Lang. Lang comes back and completely dominates Rocky for the next couple of rounds. But of course, the little twist is that he bewilders Apollo by intentionally taking a beating from Clubber Lang, even getting knocked down twice, all the while taunting Lang, getting inside his head. By the third round, Lang is blown out. He's gasping.
Rope-a-dope.
He's winded, becomes increasingly furious over Rocky's taunt. He's exhausted, tries to finish Rocky off. Rocky blocks or dodges with Lang rattled and invulnerable. Rocky seizes the opportunity to finish off Lang with a flurry of punches, culminating in a brutal knockout, reclaiming the heavyweight championship.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that fight played on screen?
Perfectly. Perfectly, because it wasn't just the fight. The interactions between Rocky and Apollo are priceless. The lines that are there. Like, he's just a man. He's just a man. Be more man than him. He's like, I swear I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. Don't tell me what you think. Like just these. And when
that sounds like very canned lines.
Yeah, but it works. And when Apollo and Paulie in the corner, Apollo kisses Paulie, like all these little things. It's Stallone directing now, not Avildsen. It's Stallone directing. And all these things are so important. Even something like one of my favorite moments is at the very end of the fight, after the knockout, the first guy into the ring is who? Think back.
In three?
He jumps over the ropes and literally leaps for joy.
Duke?
Yeah. For some reason, I love that. It just shows how Stallone, as a writer and a director, knows that all of these characters are a part of Rocky and need to be focused. Like, that's... And I have more to say that in four. You'll see what I'm saying when we get there. But yes, this fight ended beautifully. Maybe a little too quick, but they wanted to get to the favor, which was a beautiful ending.
Well, afterwards, Rocky fulfills Apollo's favor. It's a private rematch against Apollo in Mickey's gym. However, this time it's in the spirit of friendly competition rather than as fierce rivals. And the film concludes with both fighters throwing their first punch simultaneously. Great ending, freeze frame.
What a great ending.
It's a Leroy Neiman painting.
Yep.
And
who was also the ring announcer for the Thunderlips match.
That is right. That is right. So, Rocky III.
You go.
Well, I wanted to see... Rocky III was an enormous box office success. Surpassed the gross of its predecessor. Film grossed over $16 million its opening weekend. Earned over $125 million during its North American theatrical run, making it the fourth highest grossing film of 1982. Ebert and Siskel attributed the film's success to positive reactions from critics and audience towards two and the production team's quality control of that film. Siskel said something interesting. If you want to make a hugely successful film series, make sure that the second one is a winner. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Critical reception. Rocky III holds a 64% rating on Rotten Tomatoes based on 36 reviews, average of 5.5 out of 10. Film's consensus reads, It is noticeably subject to the law of diminishing returns, but Rocky III still has enough brawny spectacle to stand in the ring with the franchise better entries. Film is one of the few that has received a rare A-plus grade from audiences surveyed by CinemaScore. So it sounds like the fans love the movie. Critics, maybe not as much. And although as a viewer, I love the plot twists. Mickey's death, Rocky being protected as a fighter, Apollo coming back and training him, the Eye of the Tiger angle. He's rich, he's soft, he's lean, he's hung. I loved it, yet maybe it didn't play as well with the critics.
I think the critics have got it all wrong. I think it's brilliant, and here's why.
Brilliant?
On two levels.
Brilliant.
Okay? On two
brilliant.
Yes, on two levels.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
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 Yes.
Yeah. Brilliant?
Yeah.
Rocky
III. I'll tell you why.
Brilliant. Go ahead, make a case.
I'll tell you why. On two levels. The first level is they give the audience what they want, a slam bang action filled fight film that doesn't slow up for a second. And at the same time, they have all the character work with Pauly being the jealous brother-in-law. Adrian now becoming the strength of the family. Whereas before she was, you know, she was the follower. Now she's the leader. They have Rocky as a father. They have Rocky losing his way. They're not just repeating the same formula. They're continuing the story of how does a fighter progress in his life. He comes out of nowhere, becomes an overnight sensation. How do you follow that up? So in two, he follows it up and he wins the championship. Then you got to defend it. So you become this caricature of what you used to be. And this is what was happening to Stallone at the time. He was becoming, like you said, the plastic surgery movie star.
A matinee idol.
Right. How he wrote these movies. These movies mirror his rise and his dilemmas, because how do you follow this up? And how, like, he lost his mojo.
Yeah.
He lost his mojo, and that's what this movie's about. Just like Apollo says, you lost your edge. Now you got to get it back. That's what the movie's about. The movie isn't about... A lot of these critics think...
Are you trying to tell me that this is somehow reflective of Stallone's life at the time?
100%. That's the whole thing. Because think of what he was doing. He was doing like Rhinestone. He was doing like all these like huge Hollywood blockbusters.
Bombs.
Even First Blood. First Blood was a hit, but yeah. So he's like... He became a victim of his own success, as does Rocky in this movie. So he's got to get back to basics. And Apollo, so what does he do? He goes back to the guy who brought it out of him in the first place. And that's where this movie goes. And that's what I love about it. It's just great writing.
Right now, up to this point, 1, 2, 3, is that where you rank them? 1, 2, and 3?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's.
But only because... What? Well, there's got to be a reason.
Go ahead.
Only because the Rocky II...
Well, why does there have to be a reason? You can't like
three? Yeah, well, because I don't want to diminish three because I love it for the reasons I just said. Maybe the story of two is more compelling to me.
Well, can't we watch a movie and critically know that there's maybe some flaws, but we love it as a popcorn movie?
Yes, but I don't consider Rocky III a popcorn movie. I think it's got popcorn elements, but I think it's still what Rocky is.
You don't think the franchise sort of turns? I mean, this to me feels like a big budget production. It's not the leaner, sort of sparse Rocky One and Rocky Two.
You just described the character of Rocky III, of Rocky in Rocky III. It's big budget. It's, you know, superstar training in L.A., then losing everything, losing your way, and getting back to low budget, meaning going back to training in this crummy little gym in this crummy little town, getting back to basics and finding the essence of who you really are. That's why, to me, it's brilliant.
We're going to move 4 years later, okay. 1985, Rocky IV.
This is where we're going to fight.
Well, you're going to sell me that you're a movie guy, which you are, but you're not going to sell me that this is any kind of good movie, because I'll argue to the end on this one. And I was 85, I'm 15, and I mean, let's just get right into it. I think it's a very, very lazy premise. It's a very lazy, broad generalization premise.
Yes.
Whereas, if you want to even talk about Creed 1 versus Creed 2, I love Creed 2. But to go back to that, I thought was just lazy writing. Creed 1, they're creating a new universe by taking some old favorites and popping them in there. And I don't want to get it, but to me, Rocky 4, it's lazy. It's Hulk Hogan and the Iron Sheik. It's America versus Russia. Mm-hmm. How this broken down fighter is become the beacon of democracy, I don't know. And I think even as a pure movie, it's quick edits, it's music montages. Yep. There's not even a lot of meat on the bone.
You're 100%
in terms
right.
of acting. And so at the end of the movie, I'm standing up cheering like everybody else,
right.
because it's like Pavlov's dog. I don't know any better. But even in I was 15, I was like, that's just not holding up to the first two, one, two, and even three. And so in a couple of sentences, that's how I feel about Rocky IV.
You are 100% right. So in short form.
Filler. Even the
not
James
filler.
The James Brown.
Okay, there is filler. Yes.
It's just.
And the movie is still only 90 minutes all that filler. Two long training montages. Okay, not just one. But here's the thing, okay? As a Rocky movie, I don't like it because it betrays the character. But it's a blast, and you know it is, which is why you were cheering at the end, okay? But wait a second. It's fun. It's a pop. This is the popcorn movie of the franchise.
Okay, but here's my actual handwritten notes.
Okay, you go with that. And
I did not critically enjoy Rocky IV, though I enjoyed the movie. Does that happen for you? Can we like something and know yes. it's kind of shit?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, that's how I feel about this.
Too Top Gunny. It's like a long music video. The flashback sequence with No Easy Way Out, which everybody seems to love, is one of my least favorite moments in any Rocky movie ever, because it's just it's filler and it's like just flashbacks. You don't need them. But here's my thing about Rocky IV. Okay, more about Stallone and why he chose this route, because after Rocky III, you're back on top. Okay, now where do you go? If you go back
to... Save the world?
Exactly.
Come on.
No. I don't like it.
I'm saying
it. But that's where he went. That's where he went. He's like, what else can I do? I got to... Excuse you. He's like, Stallone, as the biggest movie star in the world, arguably at the time, 1984, 85.
Okay.
Okay. Couldn't... He drew crowds wherever he went. So what do we do next? Do we turn him into James Bond? No, that's what he wanted to do, and he lost his way.
Yeah, you can't sell me on it, though.
I'm agreeing with you.
All right, but
I'm just telling you why the movie was like that. But some other critical things, they didn't use Bill Conti for the music. They had this 80s synth score.
Why do you got to use that kind of language with me? Call me a cunty.
I didn't...
For those listening, we do have the parental control edits. Whoa!
Wait. Let me just finish.
I want to say one thing.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, a blast. No, enjoyable. Like
fun.
Like I eat a Big Mac. It's a blast. I know it's not good for me. I mean,
let me ask you.
I was so disappointed.
Okay,
as a movie fan, I mean, even at that young age, I was just so disappointed. I I don't know where they could have taken it. I don't know what I don't want to kill too much time and where that maybe they were going to take it in some other earlier script edits. But you're a club fighter, and now he's the
right.
symbol
it's like,
of
where
democracy.
Do you go? Stallone was like, where do I go with this? Well, the public wants it. You know, at the end of three, he's really come full circle in a way. So where do I take it? Well, he takes it into outer space. And yes, it is ridiculous. It's outrageous. But let me just say two things about it quickly.
Go ahead.
Okay? The first thing is that it is a question for you.
Go ahead.
if this movie exists on its own as not part of the Rocky universe, do you think differently?
Not really, because I don't... You know, the one thing, watching movies with my dad, he always liked movies. You know, the first thing you'll say to him is, when you ask him, that could never happen. And I just don't think that ever could happen.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, have we ever seen, even in real life, any kind of, you know, they're going to have a fight in Russia and the rules are going to be suspended and it's basically a bare knuckle.
Oh, it's absolutely ridiculous. Yes.
No.
100%.
I never bought into the plot. So if you said to me, outside of the universe, I probably wouldn't have liked it much either.
Okay. Second thing, and I will say this and you'll get angry.
Go ahead.
But there are moments and choices that they do make in the movie that are actually very reflective and a brilliant allegory for the Cold War.
No.
I stand by it as someone who has, and I'm not saying that I know more than you, I don't. I'm just saying I have viewed it from that angle. And I've seen, and I'll just give you a quick example. The character of Drago is a perfect representation of communism. He does not speak unless he's told he's allowed to speak until the end, where he finally, like, his redemption is when he, like, tells his wife and the other guy to fuck off. Like, that's like his moment. So I'm not saying it's a good movie. It's not. Okay. But I'm saying there, he definitely did have ideas about Russia and the Cold War and what and how to get past that. And I give it a lot of credit for that. But as a movie, as a Rocky movie especially, it's just a cash grab.
I'm sure Stallone and the team had good thoughts in making it, but
I'm sure they
did. You're telling me, you know, to me, Drago is a one-dimensional character. I don't buy into the
fact. But that's what these people were.
I finish my point.
You might.
And you are a movie guy, and you do know more than me, just not a lot more. But I think, you know, instead of some kind of...
Somebody's looking at us like...
instead of some kind of symbol of communism,
Mark Chernoff just came
They just made it one-dimensional, like the quiet foreign heel.
Yes.
It's just...
But wait, think about that.
And if you're telling me some kind of allegory, why? Because somehow Rocky trains in wood cabin while Drago is training with the latest technology and doing steroids and getting injections?
But wait, I'll tell you.
No.
I'll tell you.
No.
He's one-dimensional because that's what these people were. This is what I'm going to say.
I think it's one-dimensional because it's a poorly made film.
I disagree. I disagree, and I'll tell you why. Because when somebody asks Drago a question, either his wife or his manager answers that, because he works for them. He is under assignment, just like the 1980 Russian hockey team.
So what?
Wait, hold on. That's the important part of it, because he's expected to go in and beat the American. If he doesn't, it's almost like he goes back to Russia and he's a nobody, and that is addressed in Creed too. But wait. Let me just finish. That's why he's one-dimensional. I don't think it's poor writing. I think it's actually good writing. It's just not the story. Here's the thing. Let me finish it. I don't think it's lazy writing. I think it's good writing. I just think they didn't need to go in this direction with the Rocky series. That's what I don't like.
To me, it's almost as simple as back in the day, if you want to talk about our wrestling background, you want to get some heat, you want to generate interest, you put the foreign prop heel who says very little except anti-American slogans, and you get the good guy. To me, it's almost at that same level. You know, did I enjoy when Hulk Hogan beat Iron Sheik? Sure. But are there a million better other storyline and matches? Sure, I feel the same way about Rocky. It's just, to me, it was... Now, if you want to talk about... Sure, it's a little bit more fleshed out in Creed 2. You do see some nuances to the character, and I did enjoy some elements to it. But as I said earlier, if you're comparing Creed 1 to Creed 2, I'll take Creed any day, because I just believe it's a lazy premise. And I believe it's a lazy premise for a sequel because... Again, and we talked about this even with source material for bands, but
right.
you take you're not creating something new and beautiful. You're taking something that was there that existed with a level of success. And maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's just lazy artistically and creatively to take it and just sort of, I don't know. Now, interesting is that Stallone was quoted after it was a huge success, Rocky IV, but that he envisioned another Rocky movie devoted to Drago and his post-boxing life with a Balboa storyline running concurrently parallel to Drago. Now, that might have been something I would have been interested in, but to me, the training montages, it's just a lazy allegory for democracy versus communism.
All right. We're going to end this part and go into Rocky V after I say this last thing. I'm going to propose something to you.
Yes, I accept.
I think at some point when we're able to do it.
A watch along?
We do a bonus episode watch along of Rocky IV.
You're not going to like what I have to say about it.
That's fine.
And I don't think you're going to change opinion.
I'm not. I just think it'd be fun to break it down as we see it.
Even you, it's so filler. It's just
let's revisit. Let's
two lines. Jump edit. Jump cut to montage.
Let's take a look. I didn't. I never said it was a well-made
Rocky,
movie.
Rocky, I'm depressed. I'm going to drive late at night.
I never said it was a well-made movie. Never said that.
You didn't?
No. I just said it's not where they should have taken the story, and it's, you're right, with all the, I said, it's like Top Gun, it's like music videos, it's like, what is this? Okay, filler, the flashback sequence. But I do think we'd have fun doing it.
Okay.
So let's think all right. about that.
Let's jump to Rocky IV. Rocky V. We're going now, we're going 5 years later. Rocky V. I mean, let's get right into it. Let's forget the notes. Universally, the Rocky V is the most bashed of the series. Where'd they go wrong here?
Everywhere. Actually, not everywhere. But I look at Rocky V as such a gloriously missed opportunity because there are fundamental mistakes, small ones, that if corrected, it could have been fantastic, because the premise of it, not the story of it. The story of it is like him losing his money and all that stuff. The premise of it is a retired champion and what is next. What the things that they could have done with that, exactly as it plays out in the movie, with a couple of different changes, it could have been enormously effective.
So I agree. Now, again, I give them credit for trying to do something a little bit different. I love the whole brain damage angle that they put in after the Rocky IV.
Mm-hmm.
Again, thought it's lazy writing, though, that suddenly Paulie has the power of attorney and signs it away. He loses everything, and then next thing you know, he's back with the top hat and the leather jacket, and Adrian even looks the same. A fan, I was so disappointed. It's an early, interesting premise. Similar even to Terminator 3. Ooh, it's a little something different. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like the brain. It fits. We've seen boxers who have had brain damage. And then he loses everything, goes into Philly, and I guess I never bought into,
Me neither.
Rocky's not a smart guy, but every fighter should have a team behind him. Even Mike Tyson didn't lose everything. Yeah.
And the thing is, there are so many good things about it. It's just a bunch of crap put together. But let me present something to you as an alternative Rocky V.
Go ahead.
Okay? And it's not very different from the actual one. So, after Rocky IV, he's got the brain damage. Fine. But not necessary. I want to take that out of it. No brain damage. Just after Rocky IV, he goes back and he's retired. Okay? Family moves on. Everybody's happy. But what does Rocky do with himself? He's lost. He's lost emotionally because he's a fighter. That's all he's ever been. What's he going to do? Sit around this huge palatial home and just rot away? What's he going to do with himself? He's going to want to get back into the game somehow, not as a fighter, but as a manager. So He'll reopen the gym, and he'll want to rediscover his roots on his own, against the wishes of his family. He doesn't lose all his money. He goes back to downtown Philly by choice. He's not divorcing his family, but this is what he's doing with his spare time. He's going back into what made him who he was. And that's where the conflict is, okay? Not losing the money, because that was the dumbest thing. That was an excuse to get him back to Philly. A better excuse to get him back to Philly was because that's where he needed to be, because that's where he always felt like a real man, okay? And then the plot goes the same way. He finds this young upstart, he trains him, and then he falls in with these people, which was the state of the boxing business at the time. It made sense, okay? But the movie was killed by what happened in the beginning, by finding this flimsy excuse to get him back to Philly and to make him poor. Bullshit. It just, the movie was DOA. And the other mistake, that fight needed to be in the ring. If it's in the ring, there are stakes. On the streets, there are no stakes.
That was what I was going
to
ask.
And that to me is Rocky V in a nutshell.
Five is hurt by no actual in-ring boxing?
Yeah, well, no, there's in-ring boxing, just not with Rocky. But I get what they were going for. It just failed, because they didn't realize that the only way that the crux of Rocky is he's a fighter. He's not a street fighter. He's a prize fighter. Okay? He doesn't fight in the street. That's not who he is. And they just felt that they wanted to get Rocky back to his roots, and they didn't think that an emotional connection to his roots was enough to bring in audiences. They needed something bad to happen. They needed Paulie to do something stupid, like give me a break. Okay? The brain damage was an excuse for Adrian. The brain damage was an excuse for Adrian to tell him not to fight. That was an excuse. And all of this put together didn't work. What I've just presented to you, I believe, could have worked very well. They just lazy writing. Let's just get him, you know, take all his money away, and he'll go back home.
Is this now a podcast about your potential plots as a writer?
No, I'm just saying what was wrong with it and what it could have been.
Yeah. I thought the brain damage angle made sense. Just where they went with it didn't. I mean, you know, the movie was universally reviled as, you know, the worst of the Rocky series. As a result, in response to Rocky IV's poor box office and performance, Stallone wrote
and directed. But wait, I have one question. I have a question for you. Do you think that the brain damage, because with the brain damage, once they establish it,
yes,
it's not an issue anymore.
Well, I was just going to bring that up when you have Rocky Balboa suddenly.
No, but I mean, in Rocky V, it's not even addressed anymore. It's just an excuse for him and Adrian to have conflict. He wants to fight. She won't let him. And that's it. Then he's fine.
Well, there's real. Yeah. I mean, there's no consequences, right?
Yeah.
They don't
and plus,
really...
Stallone's performance is not good in the movie. He phoned it in. And he didn't direct it, which is John Avildsen. It's like almost like, let's be lazy and bring back the original. That'll be a nice selling point. The director of the first comes back to bring you the last. Lazy. Stallone is a very good director, and he just lost his way on this one. That's lazy, as you said.
Interesting. 16 years.
But what do you think?
In terms of what?
Well, about the movie.
I give it credit. I mean, there's not much to say.
Do you agree with what I said?
Yeah, I mean, I give it credit. They tried something a little bit different. It's just not an interesting movie. I think, you know, I like sort of what you presented as the plot. I think, you know, I never bought into the whole power of attorney. I mean, financial matters
garbage.
Are much more complicated than that. It's not just, you know, evil attorney putting a signature and he gets all of Rocky's millions and then... They go back to Philly. And then next you know, he's got the jacket. He's got the top hat. Yeah.
Should have done that because he wanted to, not because he was forced to.
It reeked, a little bit of laziness.
Yeah.
A little bit of laziness.
And the good stuff in it, like, there are good performances. And the guy who plays George Washington Duke is great. Even Tommy Morrison is good. Sage Stallone is terrific, I thought. Adrian was good. The only one who really wasn't good was Stallone. He really hammed up that brain damage thing, and it just didn't fly. And that's fine.
16 years later, Stallone wrote, directed, and starred in the final film, Rocky Balboa, the sixth chapter to the saga. Sixth film was an attempt to redeem the character for a final chance to come back as a hero. Yes? A hero again? And do the story justice by bringing it full circle. 2006, 20 years after the events of Rocky IV, Rocky, now 61, lives a quiet life as a widower. He runs a small but rather successful restaurant called Adrian's, named after his wife, Adrian, who has died of ovarian cancer.